Talking to a man just a very short time ago, and he, with some degree of sadness, as he spoke to me, told me that he had been speaking very briefly to another individual just a few days before that, and the individual said to him, "If you had said to me 6 months ago that I would now be where I am, I wouldn't have believed you." And just to give you a little bit of the context of that statement, that individual had fallen into sin. Had fallen into sin. And were struggling to come to terms with the fact that they now were in a position where so much was changed because of yielding to temptation. We were singing just a moment or two ago about yielding not to temptation, for yielding is sin. See, temptation itself is always going to be with us while we're here. And the Lord, when he was giving us his word through the Apostle Paul, and Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 10 of the first epistle, It shows us very clearly some of the examples of the children of Israel out in the desert when they had, it says, well, they had the Lord's presence with them. It says, "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." But right away, even though everything was provided for them, in the next verse it says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Excuse me. And the word "overthrown" there is a word which carries the thought of catastrophe. And we all know what catastrophe is. But these words are not just recorded in order that we might know what happened. But several times in these verses, we read here that these things are examples. In fact, in verse 11 it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples," or examples, "and they are written for our admonition." It's another big long word, and the meaning of it simply is, on this occasion, to take something and hide it in your mind. So the Lord is telling us here, he was with them. All that they needed was provided for them. Yet there was catastrophe. There was catastrophe. And we're to take what happened to them and hide the lessons in our mind. Because it says in verse 13, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." The passage is all to do with temptation. And if I were to ask you, and I wouldn't dare do it, ask anyone, but if I were to ask you to put your hand up if you had not been tempted in any way during the past 7 days, past week, I think all of us can look into our own heart and think there was a temptation there to do the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing, to react in the wrong way, to whatever it happened to be. We all know that temptation is there. And the Lord, in his wisdom, give us great encouragement by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, by allowing him to be tempted by the devil, that you and I might learn. Now, he didn't yield, of course. But allowing him to be tempted by the devil in order that we might learn from him. The time of great testing. And you and I are very familiar with one fact, that when you commit yourself to following the Lord, And you get earnest. We were singing earlier on in that hymn, earnest, about earnestness. And you're really committed to doing what you can for the Lord. You will know all about temptation. Sometimes it will confront you suddenly and shock you that it's there. Other times you'll see it coming and you know to get out of the way. And that's our responsibility, by the way, to get out of the way. We all know that temptation is real. And brethren and sisters, I want to look with you this morning at what I've given the title to it, and I borrowed the title from the words of a hymn. The title is, He Was Tempted That He Might Help Me. He was tempted that he might help me. We know that the first Adam, he failed. He was always liable to fall. And he was placed in the garden. And he fell, and great was his fall. And you and I fell in him. But the one that we know as the last Adam, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ triumphed when tempted. And to go back to what we said a little bit earlier on, when you want to be the best you can be, and what a great privilege it is to be involved in God's work in any way. People in Ballymena praying for a long time for the mission, and then 7 people saved, and I'm sure others spoken to as well. Maybe backsliders gathered up, for all we know, and encouraged again. The work of Consider Christ, so many people praying for it, and those who go down with the word never know whether anybody's going to pay any attention to it or not. And yet there's good results, even these past few days. Little mission in Derrycory. Good people around there. Some of them have known all my life. Do anything for you. But they're not saved. And what a privilege it is to be involved in any of those areas of God's work or this area of God's work. You look back over life and you say, the Lord allowed me not only to serve, but he gave me the opportunity to be my best in Ockalee Free Presbyterian Church for him. What a privilege it is. How much easier it would be if there's no temptation. So we're going to look this morning at, he was tempted that he might help me. Please notice here, first of all, that Christ was tempted when he was living in great obedience. Do you see what it says there in verse 1? It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Under the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit, Christ was now going out into a place that was in many ways empty and parched, barren, dry. And he was going there because he was directed. The Bible couldn't be any plainer. He was led by the Spirit. It's always easier to go to nice places when the Lord leads us. And so many people over the years that I've known of, sometimes things look nice, or they look easy, or they look as if a lot of people will notice you there. And that appeals to carnal reasoning. And they've gone. It's been the wrong thing. It's been the wrong thing. And it hasn't been a leading of the Spirit. It's been a leading of the feelings. Well, here Christ was led by the Spirit. And Christian today, you who are saved, God leads you. He will fill you every day with the Spirit if you call upon him. And the one who led Christ all these years ago still leads and strengthens his people today. And it would be wrong to think for one moment that your obedience to Christ will mean that you will never come into conflict with the enemy of souls, the devil. He will make sure that you do. When you read about something as lovely as the gospel of Christ and how men and women are saved and how the Lord can help them, and some of the great stories of faith and of grace and of Christian love and of serving the Lord, it would be totally unthinkable for the Lord to put in so many details about the devil and about temptation and about the roaring lion and about even giving any mention to him if he wasn't going to harass God's people. And if you're harassed this morning, Christian, don't think it a strange thing. But it is while you are being led by the Lord and while you are being obedient to the Lord so often, it is at that very time that the devil will come along and he will try to cut in. He will try to cut in. I'll just read to you what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, in the verse 18. Speaking of Christ, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to succor them that are tempted. And if you go back a few verses, it says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he that is Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You see, Christ's identification with us. It says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy. And the word destroy there means to render powerless. Everyone fears the mechanism, or most people fear the mechanism of death. But the Christian knows that the moment that they close their eyes in death in this life, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. And in that way, Christ has destroyed the power of the devil regarding the death of the Christian. But in this whole passage, he's building up here to telling us that he has been tempted, and therefore he is able to help them who are tempted. And you're being obedient today, Christian. You're doing your utmost to follow after him the best that you can. Most of us will have heard of Abraham. And our brother David Johnson mentioned something about him the other night at the men's fellowship. He spoke a little about his flaws. We know that he had those. But also his faith. And Abraham was a man who was very wealthy and seemingly very comfortable where he was. But the Lord came along to him, and the Lord told him to get up and to get out. And he did it. And I have to say that he did it. He obeyed very promptly. And maybe you have done that. The Lord has shown you something that needs to be done. And maybe despite initial fears in your own heart and concern about your own ability, you've done it. You're still doing it. And you're still obeying the Lord. And you're following after him. Not only was Abraham's obedience right away, but his obedience was something that was seen to develop. Because in Genesis chapter 12, where we read about him there, it says in verse 4 that Abraham departed. And it says in verse 5 that he went forth. Verse 6, he passed through. Verse 8, Abraham removed. Verse 9, Abraham journeyed. You see, by faith, he was putting feet to his faith. And he was obeying the Lord. And in doing that, He was bringing, there's no doubt he was pleasing the Lord, but sooner or later he was going to be tempted. You remember what I mentioned just there a few minutes ago, that David had said about, or drew to our attention, Abraham's flaw as well. A man who could get up from where he was and go out not knowing where he was going, but knowing the Lord said, get up and get out. And by the way, the Lord doesn't really say that much to people nowadays. He may lead you into Bible college, but you will know that, God willing, he will open up a door for you to go out into the desert and not know where you're going when you've been established and very wealthy and well respected where you are. You need to be obedient. But for all of that, Abraham failed, because he told lies, and he was deceitful, because he was tempted. And notably, in his position, he would have known what it was perhaps to be threatened before, or to be in danger. But now when he feels that he's going to be tempted, he says to his wife, just say you're, his wife probably very pretty, saying, just say you're my sister, in case they killed him to get her. He was being obedient in a way that to such an extent that his obedience is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's so much detail there given to his obedience. What an obedient man he was, and walking in tune with the Lord. And he loved it. But temptation came along. And temptation came along because he was obedient. He was obedient to the Lord, and then he had gone wrongly to where he was. That was the start of his yielding to temptation. And then it had led to the lies and to the deceit. How good it is, brothers and sisters, just even if it's in a way where nobody else ever notices what you do, just to be following after the Lord. Just to be following after the Lord. As the hymn writer says, simply trusting every day. And I trust that that's what we're trying to do, because temptation will come. I don't know what guise it will come under, but it will come your way and it comes my way too. But notice something else about the temptation of Christ here. We've noted here that he was living in full obedience to God the Father, and he was led by the Spirit, but notice the place where he was led to was quite disconcerting. He was led to the wilderness. Adam was tempted in a full environment. He still fell. Christ now is tempted in a place where, as we all know, there's basically nothing. And he triumphed. And isn't it right to say that sometimes if you have been one who's been obedient to the Lord and you've been following after him, the Lord can, or the circumstances of life can be such that sometimes you feel you're in a place of dryness and barrenness. And maybe in that place of dryness and barrenness, you're there because you're following again after the Lord. And humanly speaking, you would like to change it. And the devil comes along to you and he said, you know, others have faced the same temptation and they have yielded to that temptation. And look, they're doing all right. And why don't you just yield? And on other occasions, the place of dryness or barrenness, it seems that there's no way out. And then the devil comes along and says, here's a way out. And in your heart, you know it's a way of compromise. And the devil will also come along and say in your ear, well, who's going to appreciate what you do? What thanks do you get? Folks, if you live in the world for thanks, you need to go somewhere else. Christians do what they do to help others, whether they get thanks or not, and they do it as unto the Lord. And sometimes that can bring you into a place where it seems to be barren, in your experience, and dry. We all know about Elijah. We've talked about him here different times. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 17, and the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah. And that's what happens to you. See, when you go into your living room and you get your Bible out and you're going to read a chapter there and have a wee time of prayer. We call it your quiet time. And you're going to do that and you get the word of God out and God speaks to your heart. Or there's something needs, a post needs filled in church perhaps, and something new maybe we're trying to do and we need help. And the Lord speaks to you through that word when you get it out. That's what happened to Elijah here. Here's what it says. 1 Kings 17, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now, the brook Cherith was a tributary river, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. That's all well and good. We know that that's very necessary, that he would need the water. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I don't know. Sometimes we might struggle with that kind of thought. Anytime I see ravens, they're scavengers. They're looking to steal stuff from other birds. And they're not prone to give very much away. And the Lord says here, I have told the ravens to feed thee. And it says, so he went. Here's an obedient man. And he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank by the brook. He was now knowing the joy of obedience. And folks, there's joy in obedience. Well, that just means obeying God's word to come along and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Or it means doing something which is quite testing and quite difficult for you as a Christian on serving him. Whatever it is, there's joy in obedience. But here, not only was there joy and obedience for Elijah, but he was seeing God's promises fulfilled, and that really encourages us. How good is it to hear of seven people saved in Ballymena? We long for the day when we're hearing that about every mission. And we're hearing people on Sunday night phoning each other from the churches and saying there's two or there's three saved tonight, and that happening all the time. We're longing for those days. God fulfilling his promise to bless his word. See, that's what we're holding on to. Well, the Lord had promised Elijah. He said, the water will be there in the brook and the ravens, they'll come along and they'll give you the food there. Now those promises were being fulfilled. It was good. So he was knowing the joy of obedience. He was knowing the promises fulfilled. And there's a great certainty in his heart that he was in tune with the Lord. And we know that the food was very important for him. But if somebody killed the ravens or whatever, or the ravens become distracted and didn't come along, he could have lived without the food, well, for a while, but he couldn't do without the water. If you look at verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. The brook dried up because there had been no rain. I tell you, if I was there, panic would probably set in. And all around you there'd be barrenness and dryness. Elijah now, in the pathway of obedience, finds himself in a very disconcerting situation. No water. No water. But it says in verse 8, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Did you notice that he didn't move till the Lord told him? I think just being honest, the temptation would be to be up and be out. Don't like the barrenness. Don't like the dryness when it comes to our heart. And when we feel that barrenness or dryness, even in our own heart, we think, well, there's got to be something else that can somehow or other lift me up. I'm not going to wait upon the Lord. One of the ladies in the congregation here was sharing with me just recently. This contemporary worship phenomenon. It's like an AC/DC concert. And sure enough, they're using the words of the Lord when they sing. But there's such hype and emotion. And such an emphasis on the moment. And then you're hearing all the stories several months down the line of people suffering from mental issues. Because there's no reality in it. And Christian, don't be looking for a quick fix. Wait on the Lord. Elijah here, he was in a place where everything had been provided, and then suddenly the brook dried up. But he waited. He waited on the word from the Lord, and the Lord said to him, Arise. And it says in verse 10, so he arose. So he arose. Elijah was very aware that widow women were the most vulnerable in society. Generally, they didn't have a whole lot to give to anyone. But again, he believed the Lord when the Lord said, there's a widow woman there, there's plenty of other people there who could have provided for him. But the Lord showed him what he could do. There's a woman there who will provide for you, and you will be sustained there. And maybe in your experience right now, we're talking about temptation. Christ was tempted that he might help us, because do you remember whenever we read in the word that he ever liveth to make intercession for us, he's praying for you, Christian, in your difficulty. And if you've been obeying him, and in that obedience, it still seems there's, even though there's joy in obeying, there's still temptation to get out of the will of God. And to somehow or other content yourself with second best, well, don't do it. Or maybe in your experience, it's been, in your own heart, there's been a time of barrenness or dryness. And there's that thought in your heart, if only I could get something to lift me up. Music's great. We're looking forward to tonight, to hearing the young people singing, and to next Sunday night, to hearing Hannah come along and sing. Love that. But don't be fooled into thinking if you can get where there's lots and lots of music and lots of hype and that's going to really help your heart, because it's not. It's not going to help your heart. God has chosen to lift his people up through his word. We already read there, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, told him to go to Kerith. And then the word of the Lord came unto him saying, Arise and go towards Zarephath. It's the word of God that will lift you up. And if there's dryness in, you feel there's a dryness there, cry to God that he will pour out water upon him that is thirsty. That you as an individual will know a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And I just say to you, to be honest, you'll get it. No, there's nowhere better to get it than being among God's people, every meeting you can get to. Some of the people in Ballymena, in 3-week mission, they were at every single meeting. There's 1 week over in Derry Corrie mission, some people have been there every single meeting. I know that if we have missions here or an outreach mission, there are people who love to get along, and it's good for us all to get there, that the Lord through his word might refresh us and lift us up. If you want lifted up today, you can be lifted up by the word of God. And that brings me on to something different, something else here. Not only was the place where the Lord Jesus was brought to, a place he was brought when he was living in full obedience, but it's a place that could be quite disconcerting. It was the wilderness. But maybe you would notice here the role of God's word regarding this temptation. The role of God's word regarding this temptation. Now, what was the devil trying to do? He was trying to do then what he's trying to do now. And he was trying to sow seeds of doubt. And trying to, as best he could, to get the Lord Jesus to abandon his stand, and his stand was relying on what God had said. And we've already read the verses down through there this morning. And the Lord Jesus in verse 8, he quotes the word. He says, "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Christian is tempted to look to something else to bring fulfillment. I'm not saying you don't do things that are bring happiness into your life. Of course we do. But for joy in our soul and lifting us up spiritually, we need to be looking to God's word, and we need to be worshiping him. And here in this time of temptation, and interesting, he says, the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give unto thee and the glory of them." Boy, that would appeal to some people today, wouldn't it? They just couldn't know. They'd be tripping over themselves to get the power and the glory. But the Lord says here, "Thou, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then he brought him up into the temple. And he says, "Throw yourself down, and so the Lord God will sustain you." And in verse 10 again, the Lord says, "It is written, he shall give his angels," "he shall give his angels charge over this, the devil, in their hands they shall lift you up." And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Do you see what's happening here? The devil's coming along and he's twisting the word of God, and that's what he still does. He's twisting things around to try to place doubt in the mind of the Lord Jesus. Now, we know that it was a lost cause as far as he was concerned, because that wasn't going to happen. But remember, he was tempted that he might help me. And I'm not deity. I can give in. And I can doubt. And so can you. And sometimes, as you go through life with all the normal joys and all the normal trials, if you can call it that, of life, sometimes you can tend to doubt. You can tend to doubt. And be sure that the devil will come along and capitalize upon it. And one thing he will do, he will try to take away your confidence in the word. And young people and older people too, do not lose your confidence in God's word. Over there, I'll just read what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 4. Paul is reminding the believers there that they're in a war. And we love peaceable times and peaceable days. But I know you're not naive enough to think that you can get through the day without praying. You need to look to the Lord every day for his help. And Paul was trying to encourage the believers here at Corinth. And he says in verse 4 to them of chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's what needs to happen when doubting comes along. And doubting can come along for so many reasons. And if this doubt comes along there, and the devil comes along and tries to twist the word, here's what we're going to say to him. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." It says through God, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. The thought here is of spiritual empowerment. And that's what you need. And that's what I need. And folks, hence we have the importance of God's word. And when you are tempted, remember the title, "He was tempted that he might help me." You're walking in the path of obedience, you're tempted. Remember him. He triumphed. You're walking in the path of obedience and you're tempted and you feel at your heart there's dryness and a barrenness, and for you individually, you feel it, you want to lift. The word has lifted you before when you've got into it, but you feel now other people are saying, "You'll get it here. What thanks will you get if you stick to the old way and stick to the Bible?" Well, it doesn't really matter what they say. Christ triumphed in the wilderness. So did Elijah. He waited on the word of the Lord. I want to just mention something with you, and I know that we're running out of time here. In 1 John 3:8, where it also talks there about Christ destroying the power of the devil, means to loosen up. To loosen up, it means to take the coherence out of the devil's operation. And that's what happens when you get on the victory ground. That is what happens when you yield not to temptation. I hope the Lord will help us all not to yield. There's one final thought, and I'm very brief. There was great profit in this temptation, for it demonstrates, Christ demonstrates what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can do for us. You notice that's what it mentions here. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Then Christ, he just quoted the Word and rested upon the Word. And he was tempted that he might help us. Maybe you are, again, to repeat it, maybe you are being tempted in some way. Or maybe we could go further and say, well, you've yielded to a bit. Well, now's the time to get into victory. It says over there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That is the answer. It's looking to him and leaning upon his word. May the Lord help us all in the face of temptation in these days to know his help and his sustaining power, and to know his guidance as we seek to go on with him. We're going